Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and with burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Look, last week we just began a little series of No Place for Truth. And we looked at the fact that there was no place for truth in the society and in the world in which we live. I want to continue that little series tonight. And if you turn to Psalm 51, not only that perhaps there's no place for truth in society, there can come a place in our lives, even as Christians, where there is no place for truth, even in our heart. And just one verse for us is found there in verse 6. Of Psalm 51, verse 6, I'll read it to you. And this is a revelation that comes to David. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. If there's something you know of Jesus Christ tonight, when you read the gospel accounts, is that Jesus Christ is not concerned with the outward. You must have picked that up. He's not concerned with the washing of cups on the outside. He's not concerned on the little rituals that we do. He's not concerned on the outward performance of anything of our worship. God desires truth in the inward parts. And truth, as you know, is in short supply these days. As we mentioned last week, we're living in a society. As we read in Revelations chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth in and righteousness. And because of that, then, we realise, don't we, that there's been a suppressing of truth this very day. And because of that, the very message that we've given and the very word that we have is pushed very much far from us. The message of Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. The message of Jesus Christ, who came into the world and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that because of the rise of ungodliness, the suppression of truth takes place. And we live in a day which is of fake news. You can't believe anything that you read on the watch on the internet. And it's hard even to believe, I assure you, of what you're listening on the mainstream news. You do need your head tested if you do actually believe the mainstream news. And you say, oh, Chris, you're one of those kind of guys. Let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, I was out in Barcelona. And at that time, there was a protest taking place in Catalonia. And on the BBC News, you almost thought that the country was having an uprising. I happened to be in the country at that time. There were news reporters all over the place before then the Grand Parliament. Tents here, cameras here, and there they were ready. Do you know how many people I counted protesting? Six. And of course they zoom in on the six and you think the country was almost coming to an end. Look, we live in a time, don't we, where truth is no longer found in our schools, in the curriculum, in religious education, in ethics, of what our children are being taught. Truth is no longer found. It was a time when one would even begin the council services in town with a word of the Bible and a word of prayer. But these things now are being pushed even to the corner. And there's one which has made this world, who is the God who cannot lie. God and Jesus and the Bible, we've exchanged the truth for a lie. And we've come to the place where we've now worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. And people have bought in. They're living the dream when they're living the lie. Do you know, I don't want to shock you, but it may surprise you, but I'm going to tell you now. Christians lie. And Christians can live a lie. And you say, how can you say? I tell you how. Because the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? When you come to this very psalm, it's a psalm, and David was a great man. Never forget that. He's up there. And then you come to read the history of God's people. Every king was judged by the standard of David. David wasn't perfect. David made howlers in his life. But David had something where every king was judged. He was a great man military, a great man in music, a great man in literature. But he was a great man because of this. In his heart. He loved the Lord with all his heart. Made those mistakes, but he loved God. And when you read those psalms, he says, I want to praise you with my whole soul, with the innermost part of my being. And as you read here, he comes and he reveals something to us. Behold, you desire truth in the innerward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. And in this psalm tonight, I just want to just pick out a few things. I want you just to take hold, first of all, of the first verse, where David now has this revelation given to him. Behold, consider, ponder, look, as he's come to the point in his life where all he has done, he realizes once again, there's only one thing that God really wants from him. Of all his military achievements, of all his victories, of all his psalm writing, of all his prophetic utterances, he knows there's only one thing that God really wants. And he mentions this because, as you know, this psalm is built on one of the worst episodes in David's life. David, for all his goodness, there was a period in his life where he lived the lie. He lived the lie. Didn't just say the lie, he lived the lie. And it's a grimy story. I don't want to go into all the grimy details, but it goes something like this. He took another man's wife. That was bad enough. But it was a wife of a friend of his. Someone who's mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 23. One of the closest men that he had with him. Fought with him, stood with him, loyal to him. Uriah the Hittite. And he took his wife. And then in that period, how deceitful and lying and all the pretending and the falsehoods gathered into his life. And it goes even worse because it came an occasion where he called Uriah and with all the friendliness, put a letter in his hand. A letter that would send him to his death. And if you want Oscars, there's many a Christian could have an Oscar. And David was living two lives. And he lived a life before everybody where his face was smiling. Puts on a brave face. We know from this psalm, you find it there in verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. He knew something of that. Still went to the place of worship, gave his little prayers, did his little offerings, did those kind of works. But at the end of the day, inside, his whole life, you see, was an utter lie from morning to evening until the day came when the prophet came to him and then unfolds this story to David the shepherd, tells him of a man who had many sheep, tells him of a man who had one sheep. And the man who had one sheep, the little sheep would come, the little lamb would come, eat out of his bowl, drink out of his cup. And then the man with many sheep came and took the one with little sheep and took that little lamb and slayed him. And David says, that man must be put to death. And then Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man. And on that very moment, the greatness of David's heart, different to anyone else. He never said I was under pressure. He never said it was a sad mistake. Never said I've just been unwise. Never said it wasn't my fault and I wasn't tempted. You can read it here. In that very moment, for the first time in 9 months, David speaks the truth. You find it there in verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And on that very moment, he comes to the place and he just acknowledges the truth, and he does it before God. Against you and you only have I sinned. And that truth, for the first time, sinks into his heart and into people, you know, they live the lie. They really do. But David knows whatever else takes place, at the end of the day, in every fiber of his being, in every cell that he has, in the DNA of his makeup, he's a sinner. And he's not just sinned, but he's warped and he's twisted. And he's willing to admit it. And you know, he says it. I want to say to you, this very night, that he then becomes to realize, having done all his religious little meetings he had, all the little sacrifices he'd given, all the things he had done for that 9 months, making the show go on, and people do it in places of worship, and God looks in the heart, and the whole life is really a lie. Then he says, behold, the revelation. You desire truth in the inward parts. You can sing the truth on your lips. You can hold the truth in your hand. But what he wants is truth in the inward parts. And you mustn't kid yourself. And people who kin and sin and carry on, they kid themselves. and everything's fine and it doesn't cause harm and no one's hurt and we can pick up again and everything's hunky-dory, it destroys lives, destroys the future, destroys relationships. David comes to know and he says, I'm a sinner. And you know, he makes the confession first. Because we sin in our lives and we lie to ourselves in three areas. In our relationship with God, in our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves. That we just become compulsive liars. And David knew that. And first of all, I want to say to you tonight that what you have here is this revelation in his own relationship with God. There it is in verse, is it 4? Yes. Against you and only you have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. I don't know. I've met many people over the year. There'll be people who have come to this place and they haven't come perhaps even till since COVID. And you meet them on the streets, and I'll just say to you how plain it is. It's as plain as the nose in their face, but the first thing they'll say to you, God's good, I say, all the time. And they give you the God talk, and I know it's coming. They say, oh God, you know, we're thankful for him, and he's so good to us, and I've had my daily reading. They began the God talk. I never instigated the God talk, but that's what they say. I know for a fact we live in small communities. Their life, their family, the sin, the destruction, the shame, but everything. The one sacred cow that you must not dare touch in their life is their relationship with God. It's always hunky-dory, but everything else in their life tells you it's not. And so it is, they give you the God. You can fool yourself in your relationship with God and your standing and how it is and everything's fine. There's a famous book by John Owen. It's not easy to read. It's the one I suggest you do try and read on sin and temptation. He's got a wonderful little line there from Psalm 130, out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. And he says, do you know the mistake we make? We speak peace to our own hearts too soon. Too soon. And you know something of what takes place. I'm going to ask you for just one moment of reality in your life tonight in this place. Whatever else you've done in Christian services today, coming, going, singing. One moment of reality, if you could do this. In your heart now. Just repeat these words after me, in your heart, from the hymn writer, which says, false and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. That may be the only reality of one's relationship with God. It's that clear. And so you find it here. You see, this is what the psalm is now. He comes and he knows of that. And he says, you desire that truth and honesty. Honest to God. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Just that. And then what happens in our experience is this. You must realize that this is what God looks for. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth and he saw Nathanael and he saw him sitting under the tree and he said, there is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And so it is here. Behold, you desire that truth within my heart and my experience. And you know, the Lord Jesus, when he comes, when he was on earth, he taught us various things, that even in your speech, which you make, let your yes be yes and your no, no. And then he gives this teaching that when you make an oath, when you do your religious works and you come to the temple and you make an oath and you swear on the temple and you swear on the altar, and what you're doing is that you're doing double talk. You're doing deceitful speech. Is that you're now pretending in some way and you're not going to actually fulfill. See, Jesus has got no time for such dealings, even when we come and deal with these things with one another. Let me describe to you in Ephesians. He tells the church to speak the truth to one another. But one learns through life that there are those who are so skilled, they can speak the truth and make it a lie. They're speaking truth, but they're lying through their teeth. I don't know if you've ever met such a person. I tell you, I know there's such a person. I tell you what they're like. It's like this. Very cultured, nothing wrong with that. Very polite, nothing wrong with that. Very good-mannered, nothing wrong with that. But in their politeness and in their manners, in their handshake, in their smile, in those little things they say nice to you, there is a world of difference which is inside. And I tell you, it's not true. There are people who could tell you the truth, but you know that they're not telling you everything. And it is a lie. And David knew of what it was to have lived a whole lie in his dealings with others around him, with his friend Uriah the Hittite, and all the deceit and the deception that comes and takes place. He knew all of that. People live lies. I know people point their finger to the church and they say, you know, there are people in the church and they're hypocrites. And I've told you many times my reply to them. Try the pub. Try the pub. Try the pub on a Saturday night. Because I can assure you now, while everybody's hunky-dory, having their happy hour, is fine and is not happy in their home. And whatever brave face they're putting on, and the man may be the life and the soul of the party, tell that to the children when he gets home. But it's a different life. It's a Jekyll and Hyde. It's a life which is filled with an hypocrisy. And you know, there's one here tonight. And you see, he wants, and he says, there's going to be truth in the innermost part of one's being. Do you know, can I say to you, we can lie to ourselves about ourselves. And it's a deadly place to be. And you say, why are you speaking on this? Because of all the places that God wants to find truth tonight, he wants to find truth in the heart of his people. And although you may not find it in the open square, you may not find it in the marketplace, you at least have find it in one's own heart. Do you know, we can come to a place where we lie to ourselves. I remember many years ago, I was with Luther, and we were on the beach. It was Amroth Beach, and he was only about 3 years of age, and you know what they're like at that age. They, you know, they can walk a bit, but they can't. Yeah, they can walk. And you take them, and they're just the right size, aren't they? That when they can't walk, you can pick them up, and you can put them on the back, put them on the shoulders, and if need be, you can carry them. They're that size, aren't they? And this particular day, walking along the beach, and Luther says, and he's only small, but, he's getting tired, wants to be carried, wants the piggyback, wants the lift up on the shoulders. You begin to carry, and then you say, are you better? Can you walk? No, I can't walk. You carry them all the way. Do you know there are people like that in life? They're taking people for a ride. They're hiding themselves. They're saying that they can't do certain things when they know in their heart that they can. People who come and say, I can't do this, Chris. Can't be with you tonight. always watch this. Please watch it. Watch it because it will destroy your soul. It will destroy your life when you begin and lie to yourself. I remember many years ago, a man came in and he says, I want to make a confession. And he said this was his confession. He had worked for a firm, a national firm, £1 billion firm, I won't tell you where. And he was stacking the shelves and he was working with a trolley. And some accident happened. And someone said to him, milk this, milk it, milk it. He said, what I did is I milked it. And I had the compensation. And I was retired on sick. And he said these words, it's wrecked my life because I knew I could always work. And I can't pay the money back. I don't know what to do. And when there's lies, white lies, little lies, when you lie to yourself what you can't do that, you can't do this, you'll end up, you won't know what's truth. And that's why you come and you sing that hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul. He wants your soul to be clean and right. You'll come to a place where people have lied so much to themselves, they don't know the truth that's been spoken to them to their face because of the lies which are in the heart. You see, David comes and he begins to know this. But I want to show you tonight that this isn't now simply some ethical teaching I'm giving you. This is not now some kind of moral code to live by. I'll show you that you need to be very sincerely in your life. There should be a truthfulness in every way. But there's the gospel that you need to know. Look what it says. In the last line, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. This is something that God will do. And then what I want to speak to you tonight is something of this truth. That for you to know truth in your inner part, there is something that God is going to have to do. He's going to have to make you know wisdom. There's going to be something which is a work of God. Please don't think for a moment as I'm speaking this message that somehow I believe that there's something in your heart which is truthful. Nonsense. The Apostle Paul tells us, there is nothing good within me. The gospel tonight is this, that in the world of fake news, you can't believe a word anyone says, you can't even trust your own heart. You need that wonderful gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ who God sent into this world. And there's one who has come this evening who is truth. And that truth you need in your life. And if anyone here tonight who actually believes that they're a truthful person and does not know Jesus Christ in their life, the nicest thing I could say to you, you're deluded. Deluded. You're lying to yourself. Your life isn't filled with happiness. It ain't filled with light, and nor is it filled with peace. You need the gospel within you. God desires truth in the inward parts. Let me describe it, how it happens. And it's an incredible way that it took place, and David knew it. When he was confronted with that news, thou art the man. That moment, David just fell. I'm a sinner, and I'm full of sin. And with that confession, he cried to God for mercy. And I can show you from Psalm 32 that God, you see, did something. God then heard him. And in Psalm 32, which is a psalm connected with this psalm and the terrible sin which he committed, he writes these words, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Listen, "in whose spirit there is no deceit." You say, what's that? I tell you what that is. It was David who came to God, pleaded for mercy. Sins were forgiven. His heart was cleansed. And that deceit was taken away. I tell you something about this gospel that you need to know. Truth within one's heart. Jesus Christ said these words, "All who are of the truth, hear my voice." When Jesus was on earth, even his enemies said to him, "We know that you fear no man and you speak the truth." Pilate said, "What is truth?" Jesus Christ is truth. And you know tonight, do you not realize if you've been living a lie, or if you're living in a home where people just lie to you, your friends, your children, your neighbors, those around you, there's someone that you can't trust, well, wouldn't you want tonight Jesus Christ, who is the truth, who came into this world, and as it says in Proverbs 8, it's a wonderful picture, the pre-existence of the Lord Jesus, and says these words, "Truth comes from my mouth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All my words are righteousness, and there's nothing crooked or perverse which is in them." And you could know tonight of Jesus Christ, he speaks the truth to you about God, the Heavenly Father, who sent his Son into this world. And Jesus Christ is the only one who has spoken to you with no duplicity or guile and has told you there is a heaven that you could go to. There's a hell that you must avoid. Jesus Christ is the only one who's come and sent you. There's a way of salvation. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And Jesus Christ said to you, the Son of Man must suffer. He must die. He must rise again. That he died for your sins. And if you would only believe in him, you could be forgiven. Jesus says to you tonight, there's life everlasting. All you need is trust me. Trust me. Believe in the one who's never lied. And God says, I desire. Well, David says about God, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And when you come to believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of truth will come and rest within your heart. He's looking for truth in this world. And it's in short supply. And it comes that moment when you realize, I'm a sinner. And Jesus is truth, and I open one's heart to him. But I need you to know that truth needs to be in the inward parts, in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, in the impulse and desire of your being, in your will. That truth is there. Now I say that because of simply this. Now you must learn this lesson, and you must learn it fast. Christians lie. Preachers lie. I don't care if they speak evangelism. evangelical truth to you. Don't care if every doctrine they say to you, you believe and it is true. That truth can be on their lips and their life is a total lie. You need truth in your heart. And if you don't have it, there's a real problem. I'm just going to read you these words. They're taken from the New Testament, and it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to think about this now. Here it is. Let's have a look. Verse 10. Now, he speaks of the time which will come with lying wonders and lying signs. Power, signs of power, signs of lying wonders. And with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish because they did not, listen, receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Did you get it? They did not receive the love of the truth. I believe in Jesus. I believe everything you said is true. I made some kind of assent in my head. But there's one thing, you see, these people, he tells us, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And there comes a moment in your heart, that's why you need it in the innermost part of your being, that you love the truth. And I don't know how much you do love it. You can't help it, can you? To love it. Love it. Love it. I shouldn't do it. But you do. And you know it. And he looks for it in your heart. Look, tonight, there is a great need. And the great need is this. You want to sit in your life, in your relationship between him. Just be honest. Confess it. Won't shock him. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He wants it in your dealings with one another from your heart, from your heart. He needs you to start speaking truth to yourself about what really you can do and that you can't do. And of all the emptiness and the lack of it out there in the world, he sincerely looks for it in the heart and the life of those of his people. It's possible, and it happened to David, that he lived the lie. He lived it for 9 months, went through the whole motion, and there was nothing in him that was true. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us.